This is your friend John Walden. Join me in a Bible study in the book of the Revelation again, will you? Chapter 5 this time. And I saw, remember that the book of the Revelation is composed of visions given to the Apostle John, the same one who wrote the Gospel of John and the three epistles, given to him while he was out on the Isle of Patmos. The Lord permitted him to see these things and to write them down, and they are said to be given by symbols. That is, he sent and signified these things by his servant John. He is telling us now from chapter 4 and verse 1 the things that are future. So John says, I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. Chapter 4, we saw, pictured the Lord Jesus on the throne, the worthy one, worshipped by all who are gathered around about him. The Lord Jesus exalted and in the glory. But remember that this is also the throne of God the Father, and the Father holds in his hands a book. I don't think of this as a book as we know it today, but rather as a scroll, for books in those days were rolled up, and then they were sealed. This book was sealed with seven seals. That means that part of it was written and then sealed up, and a little more was written and sealed up, so they could break one seal and then roll part of it, and then break another seal and then roll a little farther, until finally all seven seals were broken, and then the whole book could be read. Now, this book is in the hand of God, and I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. Now, in order to understand what this book is, I think you would do well to read the 32nd chapter of Jeremiah. Jeremiah, the prophet of the Lord, knew that the people were going to be taken out of the land of Canaan, down into captivity, into Babylon. And the Lord said to him, in 70 years I'm going to bring the people back. And I want you to give the people a sign. I want you to show them that there is a future for the land of Canaan. So when your friend, your relative, comes and wants to sell you his property, you buy it. And then make up a title deed for it. And hide this deed so that your heirs will be able to claim this land in the future. And I believe that what we have here is the title deed to the world. Now, who has a right to it? Any man? Well, Adam was given all these things, but he forfeited his right. Satan is a usurper. There is no human being on earth who has triumphed to take this honor, but our Lord Jesus does have the right. The world is his because he made it. It is his, too, because he is the Redeemer. And the Lord Jesus is the judge, and he has a right to open the book. But no other one was found, so John wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said to me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Now, Judah was the tribe of Israel from which the Lord Jesus came, the root of David. He not only was a descendant of David according to the flesh, but he was, of course, David's creator and Lord. He hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. He said, there is a lion, and John looked and he saw a lamb. How could a lamb be a lion? Well, when the Lord Jesus came to this earth the first time, he came as the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. When he comes back the next time, he will come as a conquering Lion of Judah to judge this world. And let me stop right here and say, my friend, that either you will know him as the Lamb of God, your Savior, or else you will have to meet him as the Lion, your Judge. I think if I were you, I would accept the Lord Jesus and his sacrificial work and know him as the Lamb of God and have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now notice that he is said to have seven horns and seven eyes. Now horns in the Old Testament, and here's where we go for our interpretation of symbols. We don't take them out of our imaginations. We find these symbols in other places in the Bible, and horns stand for power. So here is one who has perfect power. And then eyes stand for perfect knowledge or wisdom. The seven spirits of God we saw already were simply standing for the sevenfold plenitude of the Spirit of God. So here is one who is perfectly filled with the Spirit of God all of his days here on this earth, and now in the glory, he is the perfect one in power and in knowledge. He came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four living creatures and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. I don't know whether you appreciate this, dear brother and sister. You may think that you can't do much for the Lord, but your prayers are like fragrant incense to the Lord, and they're preserved in the presence of the Lord. And not only did he say that the Lord has put our tears into a bottle, but he has put our prayers into vials or bowls. You go on and serve the Lord, and faithfully worship him, tell him often how much you love him, and pray for those who are still in need of your prayers, and one of these days this will all contribute to the glory and honor of the Lord whom you love. Now they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou hast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. The worship given to the Lord Jesus at the close of chapter 11 was because he is the Creator. Now the worship given to him is because he is the Redeemer. And we know him as both. He is our Creator, but we're so thankful that he is also our Redeemer. He bought us back to God at the cost of his own precious blood. And you are not redeemed with corruptible things, such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And we add to this, not only has the Lord redeemed us, but he has made us unto our God kings and priests, or a kingdom of priests, and we shall reign on the earth. So when you belong to the Lord, you not only belong to him in redemption, but you belong to him in worship, and you belong to him in the coming kingdom, and you're going to share all of these wonderful things in the future with himself. Then he said, I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Millions upon millions of people gathered round the Lord. Where'd they come from? They were all sinners who are now saved by grace. They were all his creatures who would have been in hell except that he loved them and gave himself for them on the cross. And so, quite appropriately, they're all saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Now, if you're a Christian, I think you join in this. I think you say amen to this 12th verse of Revelation 5. I think you're glad that the time is coming when the Lord Jesus will receive all of these things. Let me ask you, are you willing to give him these things now? Are you willing to give him whatever authority you have? Turn it over to him. Are you willing to turn over to him whatever riches you may now have? Are you willing to put at his disposal whatever you may have in the way of wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing? If not, perhaps we ought to examine our lives and see why we do not believe that the Lord Jesus is worthy of these things now, and not wait until we get home to heaven to give him this rightful place. The Lord Jesus came the first time and was rejected. When he comes back the next time, every knee will bow to him, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth. We who are Christians have bowed the knee to him now. It could be that I'm speaking to someone just now who has not bowed the knee to him. And perhaps you have no intention of bowing the knee to him. But God has said that you shall. The day is coming when you'll be forced to bow the knee. How much better for you to willingly, of your own volition, bow the knee to the Lord Jesus, give him the rightful place as your Redeemer and as your Lord right now. Then it says, every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. This doesn't mean they're all redeemed, but it does mean that they all give him his rightful place. And the four living creatures said, amen. So be it. This is the way it ought to be. So be it. Amen. Do you say, so be it? Do you say the Lord Jesus is worthy of this glory? Do you say, I'm willing to give him the right place in my life? Do you say, I'm willing to have him for my Savior? Well, it's the willingness on your part that is necessary. He says, if any man wills to do his will, he shall know of the doctrine. He says, whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. If you be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. Our Father, we thank thee for thy word. We thank thee for thy Son. We thank thee that he came into this world as the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. We thank thee that he is now exalted, and we thank thee that in coming day he shall have the glory and the honor from every creature. We ask thy blessing on thy word now, in our Savior's precious name. Amen.